the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Selection.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love.
To be here and to sing. And singing is truly a gift of God. And if it were not for the fount of every blessing, we would not be able to sing. It is because our blessings and what God has done for us that we can sing. And even as we view nature around us, it also compels us to sing. Everything around us sings. We might think most audibly are the birds. They sing. Today we also witness the wind, it sings in the trees. Yet each aspect of nature, whether it's animals in the field grazing, or if it's the plants, or it might be the mute beasts that are going about what God has planned for them to do, they show forth a song of praise to God. And in light of this, we might ask, where did singing begin? Do we think it began at creation? It maybe did. Maybe that was part of God's beauty of the creation, that it would sing. Yeah, maybe it started before that. Is it eternal? Was that always one of the aspects of heaven? You know, we don't know. Or did God decide to add that sometime along in eternity? He decided to add singing. We don't know. But we do have one of the first hymn sings recorded in Job 38. I'd like to turn to that. Job 38. We know that singing someday will be a part of heaven now, and it will be later on. And we have the first time that singing was recorded here on earth, here in Job 8. This was not recorded in the creation account. I'd like to read verses 3 to 7, Job 38, 3 to 7. It says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together? And all the sons of God shouted for joy." This is not recorded in Genesis here. But it says there was a time when the morning stars sang together. Now, we do not exactly know who the morning stars were. Whether it's the stars we sing. We have the account in Isaiah where it says, "O Lucifer, thou son of the morning." That could refer, and generally it's referred to as a star of the morning. So we do not know whether these were heavenly beings or if it's the actual stars that we see today. But we know that stars in their places sing. Maybe not audibly, except I've heard that, yeah, that they do emit a tune. I'm not sure. Maybe some others know more about this than I do. But the stars in their places sing. And then this was together with the sons of God singing when they saw the creation. It doesn't really say that they sang, but it says they shouted for joy. It's maybe the same thing I would think as singing. I mean, I believe we sing today when it is for joy. Imagine the beauty of that, of the sun, of the stars, and also the heavenly beings singing. A perfect chorus that brings praise to God. I believe it was beautiful. Yet there were no human ears yet to hear it, because it was whenever the cornerstone was laid. And we could ask, who were these sons of God? They came up for discussion recently after church one evening. And a few of us were discussing it, and we weren't sure exactly. It's another thing that we'll probably have to ask God. Was it the angels? It doesn't really say. And we know that Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. So who are these sons? We don't know. But it says they did sing. I mean, they shouted for joy. We do have the account in Luke, whenever again there was a message of joy brought to earth whenever Jesus was born. Luke 2:13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" We see here there's another time whenever there's a heavenly host singing together. And again, earth heard heavenly music. And again, it does not specify whether they were angels or whether they were, or exactly what they were, but they were part of heaven. And they were singing. And what was the focus of this song? Is it important how they sang? I believe it's not. I believe it's like it is for us today. It is why we are singing that counts. It's not really how. The beauty of singing comes not from how we sing. Yes, that is, it is beautiful. Whenever the chords join together. But it's even more beautiful whenever it comes from a heart that is praising God for what he has done for them. And I'd like to leave you with a question this evening. Where does our singing come from? Does it come from our heart? Because we know that if our singing does not come from a heart, will we sing in glory? I'd like to let you with that question. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you very much for those thoughts on singing. Let's turn in our Christian hymnal to 113. After this song, we'll have the children come forward and Linda will lead them.
Thank you.
Peachy to come up and lead a song after this one. And then we'll have a song group by Wayne Raymer after these two songs. Let's turn to song number 330 in the Christian hymnal.
Hymnal. You know your song, The Love of God. Interesting thing about this song, I can't remember all the details, it's been a while since I've read it, but the author of the song, Frederick Lehman, I believe he wrote the first two verses, and then the third verse, which is often kind of a profound verse, when we describing how we can ink the ocean fill, and how skies would part, there wouldn't be enough. We couldn't write the love of God. That verse, the way I understand it, was found in later years, written on the wall in, on the walls of an insane. Can I say the word?
Asylum.
Okay. And I don't think they know who did it. It was someone that was in there. I often think of, you know, someone had some profound things there. And so they added this verse, third verse. So we under, I remember, it's been a while since I read it. All right, page 82, Love of God.
The love of God is greater far.
Send the light. It's a beautiful song. I like the words and the music both. And it makes me wonder, are we doing all we can to send the light, just to tell others what Christ can do for them? And then the second song, is a familiar tune, but new words that I just run across it. It's "Behold a Stranger at the Door," and one of the inmates at prison Saturday when I was in there, he came up and he said that they're trying to give him another term, and he's already done the year. He's supposed to be released on this coming Saturday, and he's really upset about it. And I tried to tell him, you know, that it's whatever God's will is. You know, maybe there's some reason that this has come up. He claims to be a Christian, and I think he maybe had an experience, but he needs a lot deeper experience. So I wish you would pray for him. His name is James. He's 56 years old, and he looks like he's at least 66 or 70 years old. I thought he was older than I was, but I found out he was younger. But he's had a hard life. I know he has had a hard life. He's got drug under a tractor trailer on a motorcycle, and they didn't think he was going to live. But I think God had a purpose in him living, if nothing else, to give him another chance. And I trust that he does take that chance and come to know Christ in a real way.
Follow his commands and the law.
shine
from shore to shore,
from shore to shore.
Send the light,
send the light,
and let its rays
radiant beam,
like the world,
like the world,
forevermore,
forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love.
Send the light,
send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
Let us gather jewels for a crown of love.
Send the light,
send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
We will spread. The friend of sin.
these, we sang a song here a couple weeks ago, Sunday morning, a new song, and Andy's going to come up and we're going to maybe learn a little bit more of it. So, Andy, or if you want to come up and lead that, and then Brother Roger Berry. Are you here, Roger? There you are, yeah. We'll have a history of a song after that.
Good evening. I wanted to read a little bit about the author of this song, Philip Doddridge. He's actually written a number of songs, and some of the others are actually in our hymnal. Number 49 in the church hymnal is the song, by the way. And as I recall, and my memory serves me well, it didn't go just really well that Sunday morning. Let's see here. I apologize. I would have printed this up if I'd had more time. Now I can't find this place I was. Anyway, it was something Philip had written. It was one of his works. It was in some of his works, Volume 3. He had written something about his view of God. And since this song is directly relating to our Maker, I thought it was very interesting. This article was on the education of children and how that we need to instill in our children a reverence for God and recognizing His attributes as our Maker, and that He made all things. Now this song, I think, was new for pretty much everybody, including myself, and it's got some tricky areas here. Number one is there, the first on the second score, about in the middle, the winds and waves obey, going from that do, re, mi. That's really tricky, so you can watch yourself there. Also, the tenors, where it says for you to be quiet, there at the end of the second score, I'd like for you just to take the high do there, if you could. Along with the bass, it's just an octave higher than the basses. Another thing that I think would be nice is, and I've always thought this, or for a long time I've thought this, I haven't done it yet, I thought it'd be nice if we would every month learn a new song and then sing it every Sunday morning or something for that month, and then every month trade it. Maybe sometime that can be started, I don't know, but this can be a start maybe. All right, number 49.
Maker of all things, mighty Lord, we all thy power divine, the winds and waves obey thy word, the
it's interesting that you all didn't know that song. Well, sometimes you sing songs that I never heard before. So now it's tit for tat. This is not exactly a hymn story, I guess. Maybe it's a hymn experience. I don't know quite how to describe it. Turn with me in the Christian hymnal to Come Heaven-Bound Pilgrims, number 56. Come Heaven-Bound Pilgrims. This song was written by John M. Schenck. And in his earlier life, John Schenck was from Harrisonburg, Virginia, not too far from where we came from. And later in his life, he moved to Elida, Ohio. And there at Elida, he became a bishop. And he was a bishop for many years in the Mennonite Church at Elida, Ohio. He was born in 1848 and died in 1935. And John Schenck was noted for his concern about the witness of the church in an ungodly world. And he was very concerned about the lost around him. And that comes out in the second verse of that song, where he says, let each one consider the price we have cost. Let each one be burdened with souls that are lost. Well, I found out more about this song a lot later on than when he wrote it. When we lived in Virginia, when I was first ordained, we went to a church that had three elderly couples as members of that church that didn't live in the same community as the church. These three elderly couples lived at a place that used to be called Denby, Virginia. Some of you have heard of that place. And now it's been absorbed into the city of Newport News, Virginia. And anyway, three elderly couples came from a church that went very liberal back in the 1950s and early 1960s. And so they couldn't go along with that anymore, and so they appealed to our congregation at Harrisonburg if they could become members. And as long as they were healthy, they made it up for communion at least twice a year. And I remember still a couple times when they came up to the communion service. But as they got older, that became more and more difficult. And so we would sometimes go down to give them communion. And I remember doing that at least once. I think maybe we did it a couple times. That we went down to Newport News to give communion to these three elderly couples. One of these couples was a man who had maybe some responsibilities in the church down there before it went liberal, but he wasn't an ordained person. But anyway, his name was, he was also a Schenck, and it was spelled the same way. His name was Henry Schenck. And I found out just today that Henry Schenck, the writer of the hymn was uncle to Henry Schenck. And I didn't know that. I never knew it until today. Well, anyway, there was another one of these couples, and the last name of this couple was Buskirk. I can't remember the first name of Brother Buskirk, but his wife's name was Rebecca. And one time we were at their place, and we'd had a communion service, and Rebecca, we were singing, and I don't even remember what songbook we were singing out of, but Rebecca requested a certain hymn, and it was this one. And she said the reason that she chose this hymn is that her father wrote it. And so she led it. And she was an older lady. She must have been 80 or so, but she had a clear voice, and she led this song with vim and vitality. And the rest of us were kind of draggy with the song, but she really led it. And the interesting thing was that she told us that the tune name that her father gave the tune for this song was Rebecca. He named it after his daughter, Rebecca. Now, this songbook does not list tune names, but if you look in a songbook that has the names of the tunes listed, you'll see that this one, the tune name is Rebecca. And so it was very interesting to get to know the daughter of John M. Schenck. John M. Schenck had 10 children that grew to adulthood. Many of them lived around Elida, Ohio, and I've known people from Elida with that name, and I've wondered how they were related. And We had a lady in our congregation in Virginia. She's dead now, but her maiden name was Shank, and she was from Elida. And I wonder if she wasn't a granddaughter of John Shank. So this song has a special meaning to me because of all the connections that I've been able to make with it. Come, Heaven Bound Pilgrims.
Do-re-so, come, heaven-bound pilgrims, and join in God's praise. Come, sing of His blessings and learn of His ways. In humble devotion, thou know at His feet, in true spirit.
As you sang it.
All right, thank you, Brother Roger, for that. I enjoy hearing the different things about songs, and there's a lot of different the way it affects people and where it comes from, and just a lot of different things, and I really enjoy that. I think we'll have the chorus, what's left of it, come up. But before we do that, somebody here tonight is having a birthday on Thursday. Or is it Friday? Thursday. Uncle Steve. He's turning 50. Half a century old. So I think tonight we're going to sing happy birthday for him. Is that okay, Steve? No. All right, why don't we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
May the good Lord bless you.
Very glad to have you here, Steve. Okay, the chorus can come up now and share what you have.
I'd like to thank Brother Roger for that introduction to that song. That's terribly neat, knowing those different things and the connections that you had with that song. I remember the first time I heard it, consciously heard it. It was here at a fellowship meeting, and Nolan Brunk led it. And somehow it really, really hit me, the song. And I remember thinking of the words and so on. I was probably 14 or 15, somewhere in there. I don't know. He might have roots in Elida. I'm not sure if he does or not. But anyway, that was neat. Thank you. We're going to do something a little bit different than that. As you can see, we have a massive choir up here. Not really. We've done something I've often thought of is that we have so many beautiful songs in both hymnals, and I was looking through the church hymnal this morning, that we don't know the songs, and so guess what? We don't sing them. I was looking at one. I thought about, wow, that'd be a nice song to sing, but I didn't know it, and I didn't want to learn it this morning, but I thought maybe we'd try it. So we're going to start with that. We're going to sing two songs. And what we'd like you to do, what I'd like you to do, is turn to them in the church hymnal. First one, song 158. We'll sing the first verse. Feel free to hum on the second verse just to kind of get your feeling with it. And the last three verses, I'd like you to help sing with us. I'll just kind of lead you as we do it then. I have a couple sheets here. Don't be too stuck to our books. A couple of our wonderful singers up here are learning this with you, so don't feel too bad. and I'd like us to know it well enough, when we're done with it, that we can sing it without completely losing our way next Sunday morning or whenever it's sung. So, 158. You guys all brought your hymnals in, all right. Notice the words as we sing them. I just think they're terribly beautiful. It's, of course, a commentary on what the Holy Spirit, how He works in our life, and so on. I said it right, didn't I?
Oh,
went over them. Take a look at 159. We're not going to sing it, but those are beautiful words and beautiful beautiful melody, especially a very I shouldn't say a very old one, but a classic song. We really ought to learn that song sometime. All right, the other song I really wanted to sing tonight was 322. I was blessed by Brother Murray's message this morning, and I was blessed by the fact that he concluded it by reading this song, or specifically the words of this song. And I thought, too, my, aren't those beautiful words? They're very profound and very nice. So none of us knew it, but I know them, but we kind of learned it. And we'll do the same thing. Now, I was hearing you kind of toward the end of the song. It wasn't extra dynamic or anything. So you could be just a little bit stronger as we sing. We'll sing the first verse again. Hum with you hum the second verse, or feel it a little bit. You know, if you don't feel comfortable humming, then just sing. So either hum or sing, one of the two, okay? And then the last two actually sing with us, right? I think this can be, again, I think it'd be marvelous for us just to learn this song, to know it. We can pick it, we can sing it, and it can be a blessing to us as a church.
No, my God accepts my heart this day, and make it always thine, that I from thee no more may stray.
sang actually just has lots and lots of memories for me. Some of you might remember we sang it for a school program here a couple years ago, and we sang it, I don't know how many times, in Romania. We sang it in Romanian, but essentially the same words, same meaning. It really blessed me one time. We were at a children's home, or kind of a children's home, sort of in a whatever type thing. We had a service down there, and it was a long way away, and it was dark. I think Andy was there that night, because they were taking Gerald's place, so we were fairly new over there yet. Joe and Ruth were there. They were with us. And I just remember Brother Joe commenting about that song afterwards, how much he loved it. And so that was always a blessing to me that he told me that. And so it's kind of stayed with me. And there are beautiful words. You are my all in all. Jesus, you are my all in all. The next song is another new one now for us. Although the tune is familiar, there are a number of songs in our church hymnal that sing to this tune. But this is a song about the resurrection. Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing. His cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes with praises ring. His love in death shall never die. Christ is alive.